are a number of things we read about that are essential to our salvation. We have to have obedient faith. There's no way to get to heaven without obeying what the Word of God says. We need obedient faith. We need to repent of our sins, all those things that the Bible condemns. We need to repent of those things. We need to continue to have an active prayer life, communicating with God and asking for His forgiveness and strength. But the most basic thing of all that is essential to our salvation is something that's been let go by a great many people in the world. They believe they are saved because they feel saved. They believe they're saved because they had some sort of experience which convinces them they're saved. They believe they're saved because some preacher told them they were saved. The fact of the matter is, the only way to have salvation, what is most essential to it, is the Word of God. We have to have the Bible. It is the Bible that tells us about the obedient faith and the need for repentance and the need for prayer and all of the other things we need. We need to start with the Bible, that precious Word of God. In Proverbs chapter 23 and in verse 23, and Brother Leroy asked me to preach on this, the verse says, "Buy the truth and sell it not." That helps us to recognize, first off, how valuable this is. It's something that you want to take possession of, buy it, and once you get possession of it, you never want to let go of it. Sell it not once it comes into your possession. The word truth comes from a Hebrew word, emeth, which means stability, certainty, trustworthy. It's the idea of, this is an absolute that you can count on beyond any shadow of a doubt. This is right. You know that. It is truth. It is something that's unchanging. And as truth is unchanging, so my adherence to it needs to be unchanging. I buy it and I never sell it, but I keep it because it doesn't change and I'll be right as long as I stay with it. That Hebrew word is developed from another one, eman, which means to build up or support. And so the idea of truth is, it's something that is a solid foundation, something that we can build our lives upon. In Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 24, Jesus gives the parable of the two builders. Recall, the wise builder is the one who builds his house on a solid foundation, on rock, on truth, on Jesus. He is described as the person who hears the Word of God and does it. He buys the truth and will not sell it, but keeps it in his property. We sometimes say, I bought into that. And, you know, when we say I bought into truth, what we're saying is I'm investing myself into that. I'm going to adhere to what that truth teaches. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 15, the Apostle Paul writes, But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of God, the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. The church is described as being the house of God, which means the family of God. It's described as being the church of the living God, meaning it belongs to Him and God is alive and well in ruling. But it's also described as the pillar and ground of the truth. And if any of those things cease, they all cease. If a church stops holding up the truth, they are no longer the church of the living God. They are no longer the family of God. They have ceased from that relationship. Now they are a denomination of men and living in the same era that men do. The church is to support the truth, the absolute, undeniable truth. Now, errors, we recognize, grow very often from an improper premise. People will have an initial foundation that is flawed. And as they have that initial flawed foundation, everything that gets built upon it is going to be flawed as well. You start off in a denomination of men. And my grandparents and my parents were always in this denomination. And I've known a lot of good, friendly people in this denomination. And you can't get them to accept any Bible truth that contradicts what their denomination teaches. Because their denomination is truth in their mind. And they build all their errors off of that denomination. It's the same kind of thing with evolution. Have you ever been a child and seen in your science book the evolution of man? They have a picture of this ape, and then at the other end there's a picture of modern man, and all through they've got the Cro-Magnon and the Piltdown man and all these. Most have been proven to be flaws and errors, and some were hoaxes. But yet those pictures have still stayed in people's minds, and they still kind of think, well, yeah, there are cavemen out there at one point. You know, these cavemen, they hunted dinosaurs, and we got all these ideas still in our mind from way back there. I remember hearing a book on a science book that said something to the effect of, although no evidence remains, we know. And then they went on to make what it is they know. How do you know something if there's no evidence that remains for the thing? And that's the way science books talk. My family, meaning Mary Nell and me and the children, had world book encyclopedias when our children were young. And when you buy the world book encyclopedias, they have what you can buy in addition to it called the science year. And every year, there'll be a new science yearbook because so many things have changed in regard to science from the last year to the next year that you can get a whole big bound book that will tell you all these things were wrong last year and all these new things have been discovered this year. You know what? This book's been around for 2,000 years and has not yet gotten an edition. Nothing has been added to God's book saying, oh, by the way, we forgot about this, or this has been changed, or this isn't quite right anymore. No, it's truth. It's always truth, and we can count on it, and there's not going to be any sort of error in regard to it. Switching verses for just a moment, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. The Lord is our foundation. He is also our roadmap. We not only lay him for the foundation, that truth is what we're going to build on, but the way we build our lives, the way we guide our lives is based on his truth as well. We acknowledge him and trust him completely with all our heart, in all our ways. We do what he says. The problem with far too many Christians is when they start having difficulties in their life, rather than still trusting in the Lord and leaning not to their own understanding, they stop trusting the Lord and start following their own opinions. And I got married and I thought it was going to be this way, but my spouse has left me and now I'm going back into the world. And they stop following what it is God has taught them because something went bad in their life. You can't do that. We need to stay faithful to his word. Our own ideas are going to lead us away from what is right. So you buy the truth and you don't sell it. Well, what if my spouse divorced me? You don't sell the truth. What if the preacher leaves us? Well, don't leave the truth. What if some of the errors are produced by the eldership? You don't leave the truth. You buy it and you don't sell it. Stay faithful to the Lord. But there's another term in this verse. He says, buy the truth and sell it not. He says, also wisdom. And when he says also wisdom, he's meaning the same verbiage applies to wisdom. Buy wisdom and sell it not as well. And most of the time we define wisdom as having knowledge that is applied. And that is the idea. I become aware of what God says. Love your brother as yourself, and I can apply that in a certain situation where I see my brother is in need and I do for him. You see, that's the idea of wisdom. I'm able to take the word of God and to apply it. Well, this Hebrew word, chokmah, is translated wisdom in a good sense. And what that refers to is wisdom, not the worldly sense, but the right kind. And I don't think it's important to recognize in our text of Proverbs chapter 23, the verse just prior to our verse and the three verses following our verse all deal with parents. And if you're going to buy the truth and sell it not, it's likely going to come from godly parents who are going to show you the way that you ought to be living your life. In Proverbs chapter 23, beginning in verse 22, then it says, hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and an understanding. He starts at the beginning of the child as he mentions the father who begat thee, who gave thee birth. And I know we always think of the wife giving the birth, but the father's involved in there as well. The father who at the beginning of your life was there. And then he says, and your mother when she's old. That's at the end of your life. You know, when your mother's old, you're older too. And as your mother gets old, you start to think, well, she's old-fashioned, she's senile, she doesn't know. And here I am a man now, and I live on my own, and you start thinking you can depart from the truth. No. The same truth you started with Dad, your mother carried it on throughout her life. You've got to hang on to that same truth all through your life. You buy it and you don't sell it. Verse 24, the father of the righteous shall rejoice greatly, and he that begat a wise child shall have joy of him. And there's the idea of you begin him, and then he grows into being a righteous person. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. And there we've got the mother involved in the birthing process. But I think what's important about these two verses is the idea that this is what makes parents glad. And if you are a child who loves your parents and respects your parents, you want to know, what is going to make them proud of me? How can I behave in such a way that they will be glad they gave birth to me? And the answer is, you follow truth. You buy it and you don't sell it throughout all your life. You get hold of that wisdom and you never let go of it. You function in your life in righteousness just the way your parents would have you to. And then in verse 26, he says, my son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. The wise father says, follow God like I follow God. Commit your heart, your mind to the things that I know and the things that I am teaching you. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7, it says, wisdom is the principal thing. It's the most important. It's number one. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. You want to lay hold of this. We'll talk about that word understanding in just a few moments. But for right now, we turn to the next word in the list. He says, buy the truth and sell it not. Also buy wisdom and sell it not. And buy instructions and don't sell it either. The word instruction comes from a Hebrew word, mukar, which means a warning, chastisement, or correction. So we might say this is wisdom in the negative sense, in that it's saying, don't do these things. And there are instructions of God's word that tell us that. Learning what is bad and what is wrong in life that we ought not to get involved in. Just prior to the verses we read in regard to the parents, Proverbs 23, verses 20 and 21 says, be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and the drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. He's saying, don't do these things. Listen to your parents. Get hold of the truth. Get hold of the wisdom. Get hold of the instructions. Don't do these things. Have you ever known a young person that you looked at them and you thought, that kid is going to be something. That child is going to grow to greatness. I mean, she's good looking, and she's smart, and she's got godly parents, and she's so faithful attending at church, and she's going to meet some Christian guy, and they're going to get married and raise beautiful children. Her life is just going to be wonderful. Then you fast forward 10 years down the road, and you find out that she got all kinds of interested in some guy who's very worldly. And she got pregnant before she got married. And she married him because she felt like she had to. And they got a divorce inside of a year. And then she moved back in with her parents. And everything in her life has turned to rags because she didn't follow the truth. She may have bought it at one point, but she sold it later on in life when she started getting infatuated with some guy. Or she started hanging around with some kids that like to party more than they like to work, and so on. You've got to lay hold of the instruction as well as the wisdom. The wisdom that tells you these are the right things to be doing, and the instructions that says those are the wrong things, you need to avoid them. We need both in life. But we have one more word. You buy the truth and you don't sell it. You buy the wisdom and you never let go of it. You maintain the instruction throughout all your life. And then he says, and understanding also needs to be bought and needs to be kept. Understanding comes from the Hebrew word bina. And by the way, if you're concerned about the pronunciation of any of these, ask my son-in-law. I have no clue. So anyway, the word means knowledge or meaning. And I think that is crucial when you think about what it is we're really talking about. It's not just I know these words, but I know what these words mean. I understand the definition of these words. When I hear the word love, I don't think of love the way the world uses it. That's the wrong meaning. I think of love the way the Bible describes it. God is love. I know what that word means. And that's the idea of understanding that, that we have the meaning behind the things that we've heard. It comes from a Hebrew word, ben, which means to separate mentally. The idea of sorting things out. What belongs where? Making proper decisions. The same word is found in Proverbs 23 in verse 1, where it's translated, consider diligently. When thou sittest to eat with the ruler, consider diligently what is before thee. When you sit down with the ruler and he has all sorts of things on his table, you want to consider diligently. You want to consider your example. If I gorge myself, what's this rich ruler going to think? If I want all this food all the time, is this rich ruler trying to manipulate me, saying, I'll get that for you if you do thus and so? You've got to keep your mind open, your mind aware of what it is that's before you, and consider all of these things. Sort these things out mentally in your mind. It's found also in Proverbs 7 and verse 7, where it says, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. If you're familiar with your text, you know that this is Solomon looking out through his window and seeing a young man who's going to get with a prostitute. And as he goes to be with this immoral woman, he says, I discerned him. I sorted him out among the other people. There are a lot of simple people down there. There are a lot of young people down there. But I've discerned this one. I picked him out. I separated him from others, recognizing he's the one who's going to ruin his life as he's going with this immoral woman. The word is also found in Proverbs 1 and verse 2, where we have all of our words, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. The word perceive means to separate mentally, to recognize what words are the words of understanding and what words are foolish, endless genealogies, pointless words of babble that we ought not to be dealing with. You're able to discern those things, to sort those things out in your mind. Essential to salvation, then, is to buy the truth and sell it not, to get hold of wisdom and never let go of it, to gain the instruction and let it not depart from you, and the understanding must become a permanent part of your character. The wisdom is knowing good, like your parents taught you. That would make your parents glad. They would rejoice to see the righteous path that you followed. The instruction refers to the bad, like the wine bibbers and the drunkards and the partiers that you don't associate, you don't affiliate with, because you recognize they're going the wrong way and I'm going to wind up in poverty if I follow them. I'm not going to follow them. I'm going to listen to the instruction and let go of those people in my life. And understanding is the idea of knowing the difference. And I think it's important to know the difference because these sins always come to us in camouflage. You know, you don't see some drunken bum laying in the ditch somewhere with vomit all over his mouth and his head all twisted and his clothes all wrinkled, and they say, why don't you buy our beer? They don't do that. No, they show you a bunch of guys who gathered together at some kind of sporting event. They're all having a good time, and they're all sipping their brew, and that's part of the great experience. It comes camouflaged. And so you've got to recognize what is the good thing that should be done. What is the bad thing that should be avoided? I've got to recognize the difference between those two, even when they are concealed through advertisement or through certain people that want me to follow their error or whatever else it happens to be. The New Testament teaches the same truth. Please observe this. Paul says, prove all things. What he's talking about is get the understanding, know the difference. Everything is going to be tested. Everything is going to be evaluated. Anything that comes into my life, I'm going to put it under the microscope of God's word and recognize, is this something that should be followed or not? When I determine it's something that's good, then I need to hold fast to that which is good. That is the wisdom, knowing the good things, like my parents taught me. I recognize that's a good thing. I'm going to hold fast to it. I'm going to buy it and sell it not. And then there's evil, abstain from all appearance of evil. That instruction, knowing the bad things that are there, the drunkards are doing, the partiers are doing. I see what they're involved in. I'm going to abstain from that completely. I'm not going to come close to that and flirt with that and negotiate with that. I'm going to let go of that altogether, recognizing that is not at all what I need in life. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding, taught in the Old Testament as well as in the New. We buy and do not sell. Look at Matthew, the 13th chapter, for just a moment. In Matthew chapter 13, where Jesus is giving a great many parables, he says in verse 45, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." He recognized the value of this great pearl like we're supposed to recognize the value of truth. He got rid of everything he had in order to take possession of this pearl, and I'm sure he's not willing to let go of it after he got it. The same thing for truth. We need to be seeking truth. We need to be going about as this merchant man who would be wise in pearls is trying to find this one of greatest value. We also need to be wise about finding truth and recognize there are a great many false things that are going to be thrown at us left and right. We've got to be able to sort those out and let go of those things that really are not God's truth. But I think it's important to recognize that he mentions that this pearl merchant is seeking. He's looking for it. In Matthew the 6th chapter, verse 33, we read, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God." Remember what the merchant seeking the godly pearls was representing? The kingdom of God is like. That is what we should be seeking. That is what we should be treasuring. "Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." All these things that distract us from life, that we worry about throughout life, all these things will be taken care of if we just put God on the throne in our hearts and keep him there. Day by day, thought by thought, word by word, relationship by relationship, how we do our jobs and every other aspect of our life, it's all wrapped around what has God said. We sometimes use the phrase, "I'll buy that," with the idea of, I agree with what you're saying. You know, if Tom Brady stays the quarterback for the Patriots, they'll probably win another Super Bowl. Someone say, "I'll buy that." Means I agree with that. That's likely. And that's the idea of God's word, is that we will buy that. It is convincingly certain. It is the solid truth, and I will lay hold of that. I will buy that, and I will keep that. And as you consider God's word, recognize how essential it is to salvation, and recognize that it does not change. In Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 38, the Apostle Peter has preached the first gospel sermon. And as he preaches this sermon, and the people recognize they are guilty of murdering the Messiah, Jesus Christ, they ask, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter says, beginning in verse 38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children." Who would their children be? People that aren't old enough to listen to it right now. People maybe haven't been born yet. But what he's telling them is this same truth that I'm preaching to you, that you need to repent and to be baptized, it's going to be there when your children get here. And they need to know, what are we supposed to do? And he goes on to say, "And to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." As long as there are anyone out there looking for truth, seeking, what do I need to do to be right with God? What do I need to do to get to heaven? The same answer is always going to be there. It's not going to be, we've got an additional book you have to add to your Bible now. It's going to update some of the things that weren't quite right in the first version. No, it's going to be the same truth that's always been, that the truth is unchanging. Therefore, we can buy it and never sell it, and we will have that certainty of eternal life. I invite you to take your songbooks and open the song that's been selected. Number 366, if you're here and you're not a Christian, understand that we have a goal in life, once we become Christians, of rescuing the perishing, of recognizing that there are others who have not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. They've not yet bought into the truth, or maybe they bought it at one point and sold it, went back into the world through some difficulty in their life. Regardless of where you're at, whether you have never obeyed the gospel or if you departed from it, you need to get back with God. You need to get right with him. You need to lay hold of God's truth and apply it to your life so that heaven can be yours. We would love to assist you if that's be your goal. You need to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized in order to become a Christian if you've not done that yet. And if you have become a Christian and you've drifted away from this truth, you need to return through repentance and prayer. And we will assist you in any way we can so that you not leave this building in a wrong relationship with God. Don't trust your feelings. Don't trust your experiences. Trust the truth, the Word of God. If we can help you in any way, come right now while we stand.